last 20 years, so might do it again. Hebrews, I think I might head that route. I'm just debating Hebrews or Hezekiah. I'm just not quite sure which one I want to go with. Oh. Hi. Oh, hi, Heidi. Heidi sent us a picture. She had a big 6-foot-long snake on her clothesline. Yeah. So, I don't know what she did with it. She made snake jerky out of it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, an apostle will take care of that. Yeah. Jay, Peth, and Ashley and the kids went down to see Brent and Jen, and they were supposed to fly back on Tuesday, and they got to the airport, and they said, "We bumped you off this flight. So you get to fly tomorrow morning, but we'll give you a $2,500 credit." That was a good deal, wasn't it? Brent says, "Some people have all the luck." Yeah. Well, pray for Brent. He's going to probably start all over because the church he was with, they brought in drums. So he asked the pastor about it. And I really think the pastor's clueless about it. But Brent just kindly, I said, "Don't burn the bridges. Just try to go from there." So that's how it goes. Okay, we're in Ezekiel 13, and let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand these words. Help us recognize that we are to study, we are to learn, we are to enjoy learning, we are to learn from others, be it in a formal setting or be it in a book or something like that. But we're also taught to think and to reason. And if somebody says the Bible says something, we should look it up. And I pray you'd help us to be prudent students of your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ezekiel 13, Ezekiel 34. These are two chapters that Ezekiel exposes the lies of the prophets of the day. Some people might say, "Well, he must be insecure. He doesn't want somebody to listen to these prophets." No, the Lord told him to do it. Jeremiah 23 and Matthew 23 are two places where Jeremiah and Jesus did the same thing. He exposed the lies of the false prophets. Okay, and Ezekiel 13 is going to give a technique that these prophets will do, and so that should be a clue to us so that we can observe these things. I believe that you can learn from anybody. And I believe that when you talk to somebody, you ought to listen to them. Truly listen to their words. It doesn't matter if you agree with them or not, but listen to them and try to learn, because everybody knows something that I don't know, so if I'm going to be benefited by the conversation, I'm going to appreciate that. Whether they're a heretic or not, I'm still going to be benefited from a conversation where you just simply talk to a person and listen to them. There's no harm in that. Most people will want to promote their idea, and they're not going to sway from it no matter what you say. Okay, and those are conversations you just kind of walk away from, kindly walk away from, not angrily, but just kindly walk away from, unless you feel a benefit out of it. Okay, Ezekiel 13, isn't it kind of funny he chose chapter 13 for this? So, he says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts." So we have a word for that. Opinion. That's my opinion. They prophesy out of their own hearts, but they say, hear ye the word of the Lord. So they can't get up and say, my opinion is, and this is my opinion, and a scholar say, this is the opinion, and so then they're going to shift to the Bible to try to give it authority. So, well, here's what the Bible says. Okay, that's how we would say it. In their day, they're saying, hear ye the word of the Lord. But they're not quoting from the word of the Lord. They're quoting from their own heart. Okay, so a lot of times, people in church, preachers in church, pastors, pastoresses, whatever, they will say the Bible says, but most people don't even carry a Bible to church anymore. So how are they going to know if what they said is correct? They're not going to know. So these prophets will rely upon the authority of the Bible, but when you call their hand on it and see that they added a word, subtracted a word, changed a word, pull it out of context, didn't rightly divide it, then they're going to, you know, run you off is what they're going to do. So verse 2, they prophesy out of their own heart. That's what I think. And didn't Jeremiah say the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? But they will adamantly say, no, that's what the Bible says. No, that's what you say the Bible said. Okay, and what's your chapter and verse? Where's your place you want me to look at? I'll look at it. Okay, so that's the standard. Okay, I don't care who it is. When somebody wants to give authority to what they say, if it's a Christian community, they will go to the Bible for authority. Even Karl Marx did that. Karl Marx went to Acts 2 and said they had all things in common. Okay, and so like he cares what the Bible says. Even the United Nations have done that. The United Nations, which is pushing a transgender agenda by 2030. So we got 11 years where they're going to cram this down your throats. Okay, and that is the full intent. We're going to eliminate poverty by 2000. Right. You're going to make everybody poor, so when they look around at everybody, nobody's poor because everybody's poor. Except for the elitists. But that's the agenda of 2030. I mean, this is more prevalent than we know. It's right in your face. It's all over the place. They haven't hid it. Okay, it's what the pagan gods taught. It's what the Kabbalah teaches. And now they are as bold as could be. And I believe they're bold because they know they're going to get their short time and we're going to be out of here. So I'm glad they're bold. Okay, and that's where it's at. I mean, if you turn on the telly, I mean, the females, the vast majority of them are not females. They're just not. Okay, and that's the agenda. Even the United Nations has in their front, they got a horse, and they've got a plowshare, and they quote a portion of Isaiah 2, verse 4, where it says they're going to beat their swords into plowshares. Why do the United Nations care about what the Bible says? They don't care. Okay, it's just they're trying to hoodwink the religious folks. So they say, hear ye the word of the Lord. I'm glad to hear the word of the Lord, but it better be the word of the Lord. Not your opinion or not you changing words to make the Bible say what you want it to say. So he says, Ezekiel, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. So in verse 2, you can see the connection between own heart and own spirit. There's a connection there. Okay, and they're following their own spirit. And if you get dealing with a charismatic, if you happen to mention tongues, and if you happen to mention that tongues or the healings are either led by Satan or their flesh, you're going to see a ballistic, you've committed the unpardonable sin, you know, all that stuff. It you know, if it wasn't so serious, I almost start laughing because it's kind of comical. I watched this one lady actually get so mad she threw her Bible on the floor in her living room. And it was two kids that we were just picking up on the bus many, many years ago. And so when I knocked on the door, you know, I told her who I was, and I thought she thought I was a Jehovah's Witness. And so I said, I'm the pastor of the Baptist church that we bring your kids to church, and that made it worse. Why do you let these kids come to our church? Don't understand that. Okay, and so it says out of their own spirit. That's the human spirit. Okay, where that's the spiritual aspect that we are spiritual beings. Okay, and that's what makes us different than animals. So he says, they haven't seen anything. He says, verse 4, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps. Now, he's going to mention that gap in chapter 22 and make up the hedge. It's like they're watchmen and they're standing in the gap around the people trying to dispel the false ideas of Satan and company. He said, you're not standing in a gap for the house of Israel to stand in a battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divinations. Divination, saying, here's what they say, the Lord saith. And the Lord hath not sent them, and they have not other, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. No, the Lord didn't say it. And so we pay attention to the words that people say. The Bible says, okay, where does it say that? Okay, I'd like to take a look at it. So it says lying divination. In the New Testament, that's a parallel of that is lying wonders. Lying wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 9. And the Bible gives us heads up. The Bible gives us a heads up. And just a simple read through the Bible. Anybody who claims to be an apostle, apostolic, or have the apostolic gifts, that is a flag. Boom, just like that. Okay, and Revelation 2:2 says, if somebody says they're apostle, you can prove them and you'll find that they're lying. So that's a no-brainer. The Mormons of the 12 tribes, amazingly, they pick the one that's missing in the New Testament. I mean, what are the odds of that? And the idea is that when a man messes with a book, God messes with this. He does mess with their brain. And it's a... The next chapter is actually one of the scariest chapters in the Bible because it ought to produce a fear in our hearts that we better be careful how we approach this book. So it says, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. That's verse 6. Verse 7. Have ye not seen a vain vision? Have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. That's interesting. He throws in divination or divining or something to do with Satan in there. But if you look at some of these major preachers, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, if you study symbols, you will see that they will give homage to their pagan deities. Okay, the New King James Version. Okay, when it came out on the copyright page, they had an esoteric 666 in there. Why would they put that in a New King Jimmy? It's now on the title page. They had it on the hardcover right on front telling you, does anybody know why they're doing that? Oh, the Christians say that's a resemblance of the Trinity, the Godhead. No, it's an esoteric 666. That's what it is. Okay, and you discover when you go back to the Old Testament who were right next to the Jewish temple that Josiah kicked out. It was the Sodomites. Gil Riplinger has put several books together, and man, they're just so dynamite, just great books, great ideas. One of them is about the Greek text, and it's kind of a dry one. But she gets into the utter perversion of the Greek scholars, and I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was as bad as she said it, as she gave the evidence of. Okay, Westcott and Hort, okay, that's pretty much the two clowns that is the founding guys of the New Bible since 1880. They made sure a certain individual was on the translation committee, on the revision committee of 1880, and this guy had a children's, I don't know if it was an orphanage or something, but he had been accused on multiple occasions of messing around with the kids, and then he just kind of took a hiatus and took off, okay, to get away from the firestorm, I guess you could say. But Westcott and Hort made sure they had that guy on the revision committee. Okay, and then on the NIV, the NIV had a lesbian as an English consultant, and then they had a homosexual on the Old Testament revision committee. I mean, this is easy to document those things. Why would these people even be care what the Bible says? Well, it's the spirits in them. And they got to try to taint what God says. Okay, so he says, they say the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. And the Lord said, I didn't say it. That is the beauty of a Bible, in that we have it in print. Okay, we have it in print. And of course, when you put something in print, often the reader doesn't understand the spirit of your writings, and sometimes they could misjudge you. But if they give you the benefit of the doubt, then a person can either go back to the writer and say, this is what it seemed to say to me, am I incorrect? And you can get it corrected. So when we approach the Bible, we got to approach the Bible to give God a benefit of the doubt. If we don't understand things in this book, blame ourselves, not God. So in verse 8, he said, therefore saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity. In Romans 1, that's called vain imaginations. And seen lies. Therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. So that's against the prophets. Verse 9, and mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, and that divine lies, they shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. That idea, written in the writing, in Malachi 3 talks about God has a book of remembrance of Israel. It's similar to the book of life. I think there's a book of life, and there seems to be a Lamb's book of life. Because there's many books that Revelation talks about. The Lamb's book of life, I would say, are where born-again people have their name written in. The book of life, I think, is where everybody who's lived's name's in there. Okay, and that's important to understand that idea. But yet what's going to grant, as far as the Lord checking for the born-again believer, would be the Lamb's book of life. So here it looks like he said, I'm right, I'm taking these people out of the book. Where Revelation says he takes their part out of the book. Now we know that Moses asked the Lord at one time, he said, why don't you just blot my name out of the book? Okay, where in the New Testament, when your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it can't be blotted out. Okay, so that's the difference for us. So in the Old Testament, okay, now in verse 10, it says, because they have seduced my people. Okay, seduced my people saying peace. Okay, to seduce, that brings us into the New Testament, where in Revelation 2, verse 20, John said that Jezebel seduced the people in Israel. And that same word, beguiled, is similar to what the serpent did to Eve. Beguiled. It gets into a sensual idea, and this is why the music is so important in the church. Okay, where Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In truth would be the preaching portion. In spirit would be the music of a church. Okay, and this is going to be a continual struggle Brent will have in a Hispanic culture because of the fleshly nature of the music, Hispanic and African culture. Okay, where the spirits in the music can be inviting unclean spirits where it can dull the message. Totally dull the message. Years ago, I was preaching down at a conference in Indianapolis. And right, I was supposed to preach on the King James Bible. Right before I got up there, they had some contemporary guy. Oh, I just stood there and stewed. And a friend of mine came up and stood right beside me. He said, now be nice. I said, and you're the one telling me to be nice, you? And so I had to kind of get myself in a different set of mindset because, man, that can really mess it up. Okay, that music can just mess up a church. Was it not Lucifer who led the angels in singing? Would he not be a master of music? Music is such a tough thing because, okay, when somebody preaches, when you just preach, you're yelling and screaming, you just look like a knucklehead. I mean, just preaching, especially a woman preacher, you're yelling and screaming. I mean, you just lose some dignity when you're preaching, but when you're singing, you're all dignified. You get done, you never, oh. I like the college groups that come out. You know, they're all so professional. He holds the microphone. When she sings, they all. And when he sings, they all. Back and forth. They got the nice little friendly outfits, you know. One year, when I was in Colorado Springs, Liberty University called us. It was then Liberty Baptist University from Falwell School. And they called before they were coming. And they said, we forgot who we were supposed to send. Were we supposed to send you the longer hair group or the shorter hair group? And Carl said, neither. Neither one. Wow, they're just playing a game. Just playing a game. But that music, I tell you, it is so tough. And when the music is, and my wife just spots it, you know, on 90.5, and again, when you got music all day long, you're not going to bat 1,000. But there's many a times where you're going down the road, Jens, and turn that off. Why? Because they'll slide into the notes. Very sensual. And they'll hold the microphone a certain way. And I don't know the person's heart, but I know that the devil gets a benefit out of that. Okay, and so that's why music is so vital in a church. And when a church is going down the tube, you can check the music. Now most churches nowadays, if they got an hour service, it's going to be 40 minutes of music and announcements. And they'll give a little sermonette for the Christian heads so they can go home and smoke their cigarettes and all that stuff. I mean, and they're not saying anything in their 20 minutes. It's just a bunch of pablum puke. And it satisfies these people. Okay? And the Lord, and Amos said, he said, take away the noise of thy vials. I can imagine Amos going to one of these contemporary church where he gets, and he'll probably just walk down front and say, turn it off! It makes God sick! A bunch of disgusting people. So in verse 9, he said, I'm writing these false prophets out of it. And in verse 10, he said, they've seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which dabbed with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. Shall there be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. So they're putting up a wall. Maybe as Trump was back then. Okay, and they weren't putting up the right kind of wall. Wrong kind of mortar. And the Lord said, it's going down. Verse 12, lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the dabbing wherewith ye have dabbed it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord. Now pick up 13:13. Rather negative verse. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So hailstones, those aren't fun. We lived in Colorado Springs a couple years, and so you're 6,200 feet elevation. We had hailstorms a lot. I mean, so much that a back porch looked like snow. And once I had a pickup sitting outside, and hail started coming, and they were rather small. They were probably half the size of a golf ball, and that was small for that area. And I thought, okay, it was coming down pretty good. And I only had a 10-minute run from the garage to the truck door, and I tried it, and oh, man, it just pelted me. Oh, man, did that hurt. So I run back in the house. I got a big, heavy coat on, put a football helmet on, and ran out there to pull the truck in. But can you imagine the hailstones in the tribulation? 100 pounds, basketball size coming down? I mean, that's going through roofs. Okay, and these phenomena of hail is occurring in multiple places throughout the world. Okay, you can get on YouTube and research that. And plus, you know, dead animals are showing up, fish on beaches, just a bunch of weird natural things taking place. And then people in certain places hearing a trumpet sound. Jan and I thought we heard one in Australia where it's just something. I don't know if the angels kind of getting geared up. You know, like before you have a concert, they all play their stuff and getting all geared up. I sure hope he is. But a lot of strange stuff going on. But in verse 13, a double negative, we got great hailstones. So in verse 14, so will I break down the wall that ye have dabbed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have dabbed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that dabbed it. Okay, the wall in the context would be the word of God around them to teach them. Directly speaking, the wall would be referenced to maybe, you know, around a city. Now, verse 16, he said, to wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. None whatsoever. Likewise. Okay, so the first 16 verses are the prophets. 17, he aims his word at another group of people. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart. Okay, so we got the women, the women preachers, women prophets, prophesying out of their own heart. And he says, and prophesy thou against them. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sow pillows to all armholes. You say, what's that? I have not a clue. Pillows to all armholes. And make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people? Will you save the souls alive that come upon you? Okay, if you would try Isaiah chapter 3. Okay, they got some weird things on clothes and stuff like that. Must have had a funny joke back there. Did I say something? Those two back there are just dying. Trying to keep a straight face. My wife's red in the face. Okay, Isaiah 3 verse 16. Look at all this stuff. This is when people look like Christmas trees. Isaiah 3:16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks. They thought they evolved from giraffes or something. And wanton eyes, wandering eyes, lustful eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, their cauls, their round tires like the moon. People are putting all these adornments on their body. They're taking the tackle box and putting it on their face. That's what Africans do. Okay, and stuff like that, you know. Tires, interesting tires or necklace. Necklace, anybody remember what a necklace was that Winnie Mandela bragged about, Nelson Mandela? Remember that, the necklaces? A necklace is when they take a tire and put it around a guy's head, douse him with gasoline, and then torch him, and then sit there and poke him until he dies. That's what they call necklacing. You know, Nelson Mandela, Nobel Peace Prize. That's what they did. Okay, and so then in verse 18, you got chains, bracelets, mufflers, like a car or something. Bonnets, okay, we got that one. Ornaments of the legs, headbands, tablets, earrings, rings, nose jewels, changeable suits of apparel. Okay, mantles and the wimples. I like that, a wimple. That's a sissy pimple. A wimple. And the crispy pings. The glasses, the fine linen, hoods, veils, hoods. Hoods, a hood is a front of a car here, but in Australia it's a bonnet. I tried replacing Heidi's hood, and what's a hood? And I discovered, oh, it's a bonnet. You feel weird calling a car plate, do you have a bonnet? You know, that's just kind of weird. Okay, but the idea here is in Isaiah's day and in Ezekiel's day, people are adorning their physical body, calling attention to themselves, to their flesh. So that's verse 18 of Ezekiel 13. And he says, will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley, for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live? By your lying to my people that hear your lies. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows. Whatever that is. Wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no more in your hand be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So these items, whatever they are, were used to deceive people in matters of the ways of the Lord. Okay? It's like if you go to Israel, if you go to the Wailing Wall, that's usually where you see it, they'll have a phylactery. Okay, and it looks goofy as all get out. A phylactery is a little box, and they put a little piece of paper in it with memory, with scripture written in there. And then it has a cord that goes on each end, and they wrap the cord around their hand, and a cord comes up here, and they get the box on their forehead. So they get a little box on their forehead, and then the cord comes right on. And it's like, okay, they're going to learn the scripture by osmosis, I don't know. And then they got their little beanie. And if you don't have a beanie, they have cardboard beanies for you. Okay, and they're there, and like, that looks weird. Okay, but that's a religious thing. It's like the Catholics. You go to the Catholic Church, they do a bunch of weird things. You know, kiss the toe of the statue. They come in and kiss the marble where Jesus was supposedly buried. He wasn't buried there. And that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre had 100 times more people than the Garden Tomb did. I mean, it was just packed out. People everywhere in Garden Tomb, you had 10 people, 20 people, maybe a tour group would come in. And it everybody going to the Catholic outfit. And it's amazing what people push off as religious. Verse 22, he says, "Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life." Okay, so they've affected the right. Notice the word, how it's used, righteous under the Old Testament covenant. Not saved, but they're considered righteous. Okay, and then 23, "Therefore ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." So he's going to pull those people away from these false prophets, one by one, here and there, and then the Lord says, "That's you're going to know I'm God," but it's too late then. And then chapter 14. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions or anybody know what